From the Midas Roseburg studio, KQEN weather sunny this afternoon, looking for a high of 80. Increasing clouds tonight, 43 the low. Now Saturday morning, a little patchy drizzle early and some fog. And then turning sunny, cooler, high of 67. Slight chance of showers back on Saturday night, down to 45. Then Sunday should be sunny and 69 degrees. Then we're going to stay in the upper 60s to around 70 for the next week in the Umpqua Valley. This will be the warmest day of the week, quite possibly the warmest day of the year so far. If we get to that 80 degrees or above, my projection's 81, we'll see. We're already up to 68, though, now. KQEN News Time, 1235.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here. We're going to hit the mental health side of dealing with COVID-19 with Jason Wilcox, a licensed clinical social worker for about 9 years in the social work and mental health field for 13 years. He's doing some contract work for Douglas County Take Root Parenting Connection with the Douglas Educational Service District, in addition to some of the other things that he's got on his plate. Jason, thanks for being on with us this afternoon.
Yeah, my pleasure, Kyle. Thanks for having me.
So the other night, and this conversation evolved is I heard that you were doing stress management facing COVID-19 presentation for Take Root on their Facebook page earlier this week, and that seemed fascinating. First of all, how did that go?
Well, I think it really went really well. We had about 12 people join us for the 30-minute presentation. We're going to be doing more group discussions in the coming weeks with Take Root. But yeah, people seemed engaged. A few said how much they enjoyed it afterwards.
Well, it's interesting, too, with all the areas of the COVID-19 situation we're dealing with, one of the things we notice here in the news business is sort of an upswing of situations that seem to be stress related as folks just try to cope. And so, we've had essentially unprecedented times, multiple impacts on everybody. As people are trying to keep it together, what's some of the mental health advice that you could share?
Yeah, I think first off, you're identifying a lot that's happening out there. And I think it's good to recognize that we're all in this together, right? There's a lot happening, between just trying to process what's happening with COVID-19, because this is unprecedented during our time as kind of a global wide pandemic. So, knowing that we're in this together to look at how do we connect, how do we support one another and be patient with one another. But also, as you mentioned, stress management, because a lot of the things that are happening right now can be very stressful, from the social distancing to what's happening in the community to new things that are happening constantly, right? We have new information all the time and things that are changing and evolving. So I think stress management is really key. And some of the pieces we want to be looking at when we're looking at stress management is trying to be active. And I know that's difficult with our current situation, eating a nice, good, healthy diet, make sure we're on a routine, getting good sleep, finding things that we really enjoy to do and make sure that we plan those into our schedule. But I think even more so than all of that is just being compassionate and understanding with not only ourselves, but those are around us, including our family.
Yeah, I noticed as I was out running some errands last night, some of these situations where you might normally mutter under your breath when you find out that the, food place doesn't have the sauce that you're supposed to pick up, or that the store is out of a certain item that you really needed to pick up that night. It's been a challenge for folks just to deal with those things, because we're used to everything being there that we probably want in life for the most part. But to also realize that those who are working in whatever retail environment, store, takeout, et cetera, are dealing with, their own challenges. And I know I've had myself just kind of had to swallow and go, okay, I'm not going to complain. I'm just going to move along.
Right. That happened to us just the other day. We went to Subway over in our neck of the woods, and we pulled in, and the person at the Subway is like, oh my goodness, we have no bread except this one kind of bread. And she was panicked on the mic, and I just said, it's okay. That'll work great. So that kind of understanding of flexibility right now is important to have, because we're a community.
So for parents in particular, how much information about what's going on do you share with your children, and maybe what do you not tell them?
Yeah, so that's a complicated question because it's going to vary on the situation in the home. It's going to vary on the child's age. But, you know, remember that whatever is human, whatever happens out there in the world, it's up for talking about. And if we're not going to talk about it, they're going to hear it from somewhere. And really, we get to set the kind of tone as parents, and we get to be the filter for how they're going to decipher and how they're going to interpret what's happening. So one, identifying what's the appropriateness regarding age. Two, looking at the media. The media is giving us a lot of information, and it might be totally appropriate for someone that's in their later child years as an older teen. But some of our younger children, they might hear some of that stuff and not know how to interpret it or how to take it. And so maybe watching what kind of media they're watching and then looking at how do we have the conversation with them. There's kind of a bigger umbrella that I often teach parents. There's the motivational parent concepts that we go out and we teach parents on. And normally what we talk about when we're dealing with any difficult situation is to start with the child where they're at. So normally you might want to start asking, what do they know? What do they understand? How are they thinking and feeling about it? This gives you a great foundation that once you kind of get where they're at, you can see what pieces you need to fill in or what things you might want to guide and correct and help them understand even better.
Normally for a lot of kids, especially, I guess I'm thinking maybe early elementary age or maybe even prior to that, kids don't tend to worry about these things, and yet they can sense when their parent or parents or the folks in their family, grandparents, etc., when they're worried and when something's going on. And I suppose the attitude that you take even among dealing with other adults in the family, in the house, is going to be very obvious to the kids.
Yeah, again, we set the tone, right? The kids will always look at us as the parents as the leading force in the home. They're going to be looking to us on how we respond, how we're dealing with things. And you might want to ask yourself as a parent, as you're working on being there in this home with your children a lot more than you normally are, what do you hope them to, what feeling and memory do you want them to take away after all of this? And how do we engage with them and be connected with them during this and not create a disconnect?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking earlier today about, and my grandmother died when I was very young, and lived in another state, so I would just see her periodically. But remembering some of the stories she used to tell about the Great Depression, things like that, and you realize the impact of that time, and then think about kids now are going to be 20, 30, 40, 50 years up the road talking about this spring, summer of 2020.
They will. It's going to be something that's going to be stark in their memory. I believe the world's probably going to change differently after all of this is over. We're going to be seeing different ways that we're going to handle, because we're always going to know that this could happen again. And how are we going to handle this in the future?
Well, people, like you said, are spending a lot more time at home. Sometimes you've got parents both working from home and trying to help their kids with schoolwork as that evolves. How do you juggle all that?
Well, there's a few elements I would put in place if you're going to be juggling it all. First off, I'm a big believer. I've worked with organizations a lot. I do leadership coaching and consultation and development and help with organizations. So I normally, first off, always encourage people to talk to their boss. Make sure that they're aware of the situation. Talk to them about what flexibilities you might have when you're trying to work with your child in the home and if you're working from home. But then past that, also be engaged with the teachers, talking with them what it is like in the home. You know, I have three kids at home myself, and, I made sure I reached out to all the teachers, emailed them, did my best to contact them to make sure that they knew what was going on and how we could connect and communicate and make sure that I was in the loop. So that's the first part I would always do, is make sure we're talking with people. After that, you want to have some kind of a system and structure in place. And normally you do this first by having a family meeting, and you might have to have a few family meetings with the children. For example, with me, my children, once all of this kind of started, we sat down, we went through all the emails I had from teachers. We went through everything that was going to be needing to be done. I made sure that they had no questions, that they're ready to go. We sat on their computers, made sure they knew how to get into everything. Did that on a weekend so it wasn't interrupting my work. And then we set up a schedule. Right. So making sure that they know when my breaks are, my 15s, my 30 minutes, when I start work, when I get off work. and then letting them know that here's the work you can be working on while I'm working. And if you have questions, concerns, pause on those, write them down. And when I have my break, we're going to come back to those. So that allows some kind of a structure, and it makes them feel a little more confident and comfortable.
And as well, for some people, if you have a apartment or a home that's not all that big, that complicates it even further.
It does. So then you're trying to figure out where is good, like kind of a retreat place for the children. And that's important to identify, too. And this goes back to having these family meetings, making sure we're communicating and talking with the kids. But we do want to make sure we have a space where people can kind of go to. Depending on how much space you have, like you mentioned, if someone's in an apartment or a confined place, you might have to find somewhere in there that people can have their time. And if you don't have a lot of space, maybe you have to come up with a schedule where people know that they can have their alone time or their space for a little bit, and then someone else gets it. But definitely finding places where people can retreat is going to be important, because we all need our alone time. We need time to just think and be.
All right, going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Jason Wilcox, licensed clinical social worker and in the mental health field for about 13 years. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. Back in 2 minutes with more of Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQAN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. On Monday, we'll check in with State Representative Gary Leaf about the state response to the COVID-19 situation. Jason Wilcox with us today, a licensed clinical social worker covering stress management facing COVID-19, trying to provide some help for parents, for kids, families, as we navigate these uncertain times. Jason, what about things parents can do to help their children deal with, I'm sure, cabin fever these days?
Yeah, so, you know, I think with most situation we're dealing with COVID-19 is being flexible and curious and open to ideas. Be creative. So, you know, with kids, they love their creative juices to be engaged. So finding ways, if it's an option to be outside away from people, allow them to be outside in the sunshine, allow them to get some physical activity, maybe find some exercises that can be done in the house so they can do exercises in the home. But, you know, even engaging that creative part. So, you know, having them come up with things that they can be doing. Again, in family meetings, we can talk about, hey, what are things you love doing? How can we make those happen and have that discussion? Or give them opportunities to teach you about things they might be able to do. Like my daughter, she developed a whole board game by herself. She got this piece of cardboard and a deck of cards, and she developed a game called Warland. And it was a lot of fun. But being creative, flexible, and patient with the kids and doing the best to find things that they can be doing in the home is definitely important.
Now, for parents, one of the things I've been contemplating, our kids have grown up, but for people with kids at home like you, it occurs to me that parents may need breaks from kids periodically with the current guidelines, et cetera. How do you make that happen?
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing, right? Be creative about it and be try to think of ways, especially when you don't have a lot of your own space. Of course, we all need times to take a break. We need times to take a breath. We need to de-stress, as we talked about earlier. So is there a place you can go for a walk? You know, down the street? Is there somewhere else that you can go? Finding ways to maybe switch off with parents. If you have someone young at home, maybe one parent takes a break while the other one watches, and so on and so forth. But then also finding time. So you might identify with the family. You can say, hey, Tuesday night is kind of our own individual time night, and mom and dad, we're going to go have our individual time, and you guys can go do what you're going to do. But normally communication, coming up with a plan, and again, being creative and flexible is going to be key.
Well, and it's interesting as well with situations where sometimes you have more than one family living under a roof or extended family. Maybe grandparents are staying with you. Maybe you've got other parts of your extended family. So sometimes not only do you have maybe one family in a home, but you might have two, which complicates this even further.
Yeah, communication is going to be really, really key if you're adding even more people to the mix. on making sure that really people know and understand boundaries. This might include kids. Kids might say, hey, I want my time in my room during these times and to be able to be left alone. We might need to be able to respect that, even if grandparents around or others in the home, so that they really feel like they have a safe place to kind of just disengage a little. And we might have to talk with those living with us and sit down with them and say, hey, you know, we know like vacations, we all want to be together, but this is a time that's stressful for everybody. And during stress, we might need to disengage and allow the children to go somewhere without, you know, always having to be around them if they need some time. So again, communication, talking about what the family needs, the children need, the grandparents need, and trying to come up with a good structured game plan for everyone.
And I know one of the things that's come up, this is so evolving so fast. I've been in 3 Zoom meetings for different reasons this week in 4 days. Had never done one before Monday. My wife's been has done dozens of them in the past 2 weeks. But even the idea of using whatever platform, Zoom, et cetera, to engage socially with your friends, whether that's the kids or adults or both.
Yeah, absolutely. I think some people look at the Zoom and the online platform as something that's just terrible, and others love it, and there's those that are in the middle. But, you know, there's the underlying need as humans to connect with others. It's just an important piece. Even those that say, you know, I'm not huge into that, they might need their space a little bit more, but most everybody wants to be able to feel some kind of connection with others. And if, you know, again, not being rigid about things that are going on, but looking at what are all the opportunities, what are all the solutions for us to be able to connect. I had a trip that we were going to go over to Idaho and spend it with a bunch of my siblings and parents. And we were really excited until COVID-19 came around and it canceled the whole trip. Everybody was bummed. So we just set up a Zoom evening and came up with a bunch of games we could do virtually. And we just got together virtually. It was a wonderful night. It was so much fun. We came up with things that we'd never thought of before and learned things about each other and had a great night. And afterwards, I had multiple siblings calling me up saying, oh my gosh, we got to do that again. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, finding ways to connect is going to be important.
And I know our extended family, part of them, did essentially a Zoom meeting for Easter because we're spread over about a 200-mile range. And that was new. I did notice that there was a lot less calories involved than the normal Easter big family get-together. But so that, for me, was beneficial to not have all that food around. But it was kind of a new way to engage. But I thought, even though there are elements of it that are, you know, a little tricky if everybody's not up to speed with using the technology, you still got that interaction. You got to look people in the face and kind of get a better sense of how they're doing.
Yeah, sometimes you got to almost like figuratively sticking here to like almost jump off that cliff, right? Like you just got to jump into it and it might feel scary, but as soon as you get in there, play with the Zoom or there's a bunch of other platforms out there. Zoom makes you uncomfortable, but there's a bunch of them. You just sign in and you start learning and then it becomes familiar and it becomes easy. But there's a lot of fun ways to use it. My son even got a hold of his friends and his cousins and ended up playing board games with them over Zoom. And being able to sit there and play the game, and people would roll the dice on their end and play a game. And that the game they played was some new modern type of Risk, and it took like 3 days for them to get over it with the times they could play. But they had a blast.
And one of the things I was thinking about, too, a lot of educators are concerned about the amount of time kids spend on devices. There's a lot of research about that, especially the impact on younger kids. Now here you're dealing with trying to do education online and trying to provide some maybe opportunities like we've just talked about for video chatting or game playing. How do you balance that with not letting the kids spend too much time on devices?
Yeah, so, you know, there's a couple things I would throw out there about that. And I've said this word a number of times, and it's going to be really important to take this to heart, is being flexible, right? Again, this is something we've never dealt with before. So as we go through it, you might have to get creative, and you might have to say, okay, during this time, it's all right for you to have a little bit more electronic time. But on the other side, what kind of electronic time are they doing, right? Is it that they're doing homework on the computer? Is it that they're engaging with others, like over a Zoom meeting and doing something fun and connecting with people? Or is it really that they're just playing a video game the entire day? And if it's just a video game, we might try to look for other options electronically if they're really loving electronics, you know, is there a different way they can connect with people without just playing video games all the time? But ultimately, let's be flexible, right? We're all trying to figure out how to get through this together, which includes our kids.
With social distancing, what about kids with grandparents or extended relatives that maybe live in the area? I mean, I've heard about people going to visit grandparents and standing out in the yard with the grandparents on the porch, or do you just do it via video? What do you think?
You know, a lot of this, I think, again, depends on the family themselves. You know, I heard about some grandparents reporting from some families. Grandparents had a lot of fun. They would pull up to the house and have goodies or you know, little things for the kids, and they drop it off on the porch and go, and the kids think that's really exciting and fun, right? It's different and new. Just yesterday when my wife and I were driving home, we saw some grandparents with their grandkids out in an empty lot right next to their house. And they were had goodies in the middle of the circle that they would go and take turns getting. And then they sat far away from each other to keep the social distancing, but had a great time as a group, being able to go out there almost like this kind of a picnic almost atmosphere, but being able to engage, yes, still keeping social distancing. And again, my parents, my kids' grandparents, they love talking with my kids on Zoom. They've learned the technology and have a lot of fun that way. So, again, it just depends on what you're comfortable with, what you're looking for, but being safe, right? We don't want someone to start getting sick because we're not practicing what's important.
All right, Jason Baker, licensed clinical social worker on Inside Douglas County. Jason, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you.
1258 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.